Talk about katan today. So let's begin with Ali Bella. So what's the story with katan? So the katan appears in the context of chulin. Let's just talk about the where it appears, and then we'll talk about what the issues are. And again, hopefully we won't get too bogged down. And then I want Sunday. I already start speaking about again very quickly chulin altar for kodesh, because it's a massive topic. It's all over chagigas and the lamids of. And other places in Chulin. It's a great topic to do one time more thoroughly, but we don't want to get too bogged down, but it's very relevant to issues that we're going to do. So we hope to begin with that. But let's talk about Katan and also a little bit more about the Matir and Kavana today. So what's the, I guess we call it the locus classicus of this, I mean, where does this topic get discussed? Number one, and then what do you think are the stakes? Like, what do you think it's, you know, in addition to, you know, any mitzvah or any institution, you always want to know who it applies to, right? Who can do it? You know, just practically, that's a very critical thing to know. What, you know, beyond that, like, what are we, you know, on the lookout for? Maybe we'll be disappointed, and maybe, you know, maybe we'll be, you know, rewarded, you know. Okay, what are the sources that we need to look at very quickly? Exactly. So it starts with the line, go ahead, in the Mishnah, namely. Yeah. Okay, so immediately the Cheresot of the Katan. We'll take it as a unit for the moment. The Ravan, quoting the Rabbiya, suggests that there might be important differences between Katan and Keirush and Shota with regard to the effectiveness of Omid al-Gaba. We'll get to that. There also might be other distinctions in terms of what is L'chatchila and what is B'di'evet between Katan and Keirush and Shota. For our purposes, we're going to treat them mostly as one. Obviously, you know, in many areas of halacha, they're treated as one because they have full kedushas Yisrael, of course. They're members of Klal Yisrael, and they're lacking das. They're not bar das. If we make the distinction, which we do in some areas of halacha, that is intriguing. If the distinctions that we're talking about are more on the drabana level, which is most of the suggestions that we find, you know, in Shulchan Aruch and so on, then, you know, that's, again, halacha l'maisa, that's very important, but it's less important for the, you know, bigger conceptual question. If on a deraisa level there are differences between katan and the keirush and shota, obviously that, you know, the idea that, you know, osi l'chlal das, you know, he's more in the parsha, those kind of things, that would be more significant. So we'll see if we can pin that down a little more, probably not today, but when we finish with this, hopefully on Sunday. But in our Mishnah, the Girsa that we have is that Kereshot of a Katan is a package deal. What's the impression that you get in the Mishnah in terms of this whole Kereshot and Katan? It's that there's an Lechatchila Shemi Kalkalu, right, not to give it to them, correct? Yeah, that's the question. So is Shema Yikalkalu itself certainly sounds like it's a very pragmatic factor, right? Namely, you know, will they do a good job, you know, or not? And what does it even mean, Shema Yikalkalu? We'll get to that in just a second. But it does sound very pragmatic. That doesn't mean that, you know, so you could say, well, if the Shema Yikalkalu factor is only pragmatic, it sounds like fundamentally you can have Shechita al Yidei Kereshot of a Katan. But that isn't necessarily the case either, right, Elimelech? Why? Because maybe the Shema Yikalkalu, which is pragmatic, is still only connected to the continuation of the Mishnah, namely, if it's Gadol Omid al Gav, if it's Bifnei Acherim, Had Bekulin Sheshaktu V'Acherim, Ro'no-son, Shkitosan Kshev. So if the Shema Yikalkalu is a further qualification within Acherim Ro'no-son, right, then the fact that it is pragmatic as I say, maybe is important, halacha l'maisa, in terms of, you know, when you should, when you shouldn't, when you rely, when you don't, etc. But it's not necessarily more important. If, on the other hand, the Shema Yikalkalu, you know, also affects the bigger question, whether or not fundamentally Daraisa, Eker Shotzev Katan could be Shochet, right? Then, implying that B'dieved, or in principle, Eker Shotzev Katan could, right? That would be more significant. Either way, the Mishnah introduces a factor here, two things I would say. Number one, Shami Kalkalu, which sounds like more of an extraneous issue, but it also introduces the factor of Acherim Roenosam, you know, which raises all sorts of questions. Right? I mean, Acherim Roenosam could be understood very narrowly, right? Elimelech, meaning like Shami Kalkal, and it could be understood narrowly. What do I mean by that, narrowly? Yeah, you know, to confirm that there was no kill, that it wasn't done improperly. You know, so then the real concern is, again, mitzchila v'yatzof, is just about whether this is a proper shkita or not, right? On the other hand, you know, it's possible that... that Acherim, put it this way, that Acherim Rowan Oso may be not just, you know, an insurance policy or a source of nemanus, which would be another possibility, right? But again, something that's more extraneous. Maybe, Acherim Rowan Oso is something more fundamental, right? I used the expression before, but we'll get to that a little bit, and we'll talk more about it, you know, as we move forward in different topics. I use the expression Godol Omeid al Gaba. Okay, but the Mishnah doesn't actually use that expression. It says Acherim Roim Osa. Okay, now whether there's a difference between Gadol Omeid al Gaba, I mean they basically mean the same thing. The question is the implication of those two phrases. Are they really different in any significant? Are they different in any significant way? Okay, so either way, both Shemi Kalkalu and the effectiveness, but seemingly the need for Acherim Roen Oso, these are two different elements to think of in the Mishnah. What I'm trying to say is that there's a way to read the Mishnah in which the Mishnah is telling us that fundamentally Katan could be Shochet, or Acherim Shotev Katan could be Shochet, and there's another way to read the Mishnah in which what we're saying is that the only way Katan could ever be Shochet is in the context of Acherim Roen Oso, and maybe that is something somewhat fundamental. Again, we'll talk about the range of that in just a minute, and where else we find it, right? And even then, there are some practical concerns. Okay, so there are two radically different ways, perspectives, let's say, to walk away from this Mishnah. If you look at Tosus here, we'll get back to it in just a second, right? Shemi Kalkalu, right? Tosus's main point or main discussion is about what? L'chatchila, b'di'eved, like what this is all about. If you look at other Rishonim as well, it goes a little bit to the sugyan yud base on base, which is the next thing to look at just for a second. Arya, yeah.
Yeah, just point out like a deacon mission on this point, like quote about Hiram Rowan is that a mission doesn't really give that much respect like who these Hiram are.
Right.
It doesn't say like ve'edim Rowan Oso, meaning somebody needs to testify that it was a good mission, speak or like who these people. It says like Hiram, like other people.
Right. Well, the assumption is that it would be Gadol,
or
Bardas.
Like meaning Gadol or Bardas are very different. Let's say someone who doesn't generally have them on it. Could they still live?
Right. Good question.
Yeah.
Good question. So we'll get to that. Again, if it's about Nemanus, and the answer is no, and if it's about, you know, other things, then, you know, in terms of who the Shochet is, then that's, right?
Yeah.
100%. So this is one sugya. Very closely connected to it are two other gemaras in Chulin and one gemara in Sukkah. We'll take the Sukkah one just very quickly. What's the sugya in Sukkah about? What's that? Oh, you didn't see the sugya in Sukkah. Zach. Wait, are we Zach or Zachary? Yeah, so, I mean, what's that Gemara talking about generally? You're not sure. Simcha. Excellent. That's the Gemara about Chinuch, right? The Gemara talks about, you know, when does a katan sit in the sukkah? When does a katan begin to, you know, pick up a lulav, right? When does a katan, you know, do other mitzvahs? So among the other things, among what's being told is that, you know, when can a katan do shechita? Yeah, simcha, right? So what does it say about the katan doing shechita? Hayodeh lishkot, not very explicit, but obviously he has to have some knowledge. Is that book knowledge, or is that experience? What? Dexterity. Okay, maybe. We'll see. Again, the words yodeah, you know, lishkot, could mean either or both, or one or the other, right? But either way, what's important about that Gemara? What does the Gemara establish there? How does the language go? Hayodea, yeah, right. Hayodea lishkot ochling excellent mishkitasa. Lechatchila b'diavad, not clear, right? Ochling could be lechatchila. Ochling could be b'diavad, right? Could be, but it ends up being pretty much a mixed bag in Chulin. And then the Gemara adds critically, very critical point in Sukkah. Here it doesn't say Acherim Rono, so by the way. It says Gadol Omed Al Gabav. Makes Tosis' job a little bit harder in the base of base, which we'll get to in just a minute. Okay, so you have Ochlin. You actually have an interesting debate. Again, I don't want to spend so much time on this topic. You could, but there's a debate in the Rishonim there whether or not Ochlin Mishritasa V'husha Gadol Omed Al Gabav is the Chatzchila or B'dievet. Right, Tosas Alatar, I mean Rashi Alatar, by the way, says Hayodeh Lishko, do you have a Timcha? Oh, it's up there, thanks to Aryeh. Good. Oh. So Amin Yadav, Hayodeh here means dexterity, which is what you're saying. You don't have to read the Gemara that way. Right? You could say that means book knowledge, even though you don't have dexterity, you don't have experience, probably you have to have dexterity. It could mean that you need both, or it could mean that you need one or the other, right? All these views are identifiable in the halakha, okay? In terms of making a difference, you know, either in terms of what works for the eved, right, or what makes it acceptable even l'chatchila, right? Now, those who think, you know, anything makes it l'chatchila, or anything makes it for the eved, now those who think that, you know, and that, you know, nothing makes it l'chatchila, and maybe you need both elements, I mean, the experience and physical, you know, skill, as well as the, you know, the study and the knowledge, you know, even to be b'dieved, or maybe that finally gets you to l'chatchila. Okay. Again, the exact shitos, you can look it up in the Rishonim, and in the you know, in the poskim in Yoredeya, Simin Aleph, which we'll get to anyway in a couple of minutes, Simin Aleph Sipei, right? The difference, the Bach, the Taz, the Shach, and so on and so forth. Okay, but in terms of the Rishonim Altar in Sukkah, so you have Tosaser Altar, who says Mashma de im en Yoredeya la Amen Yadav l'shchita afapishero gadol mitchila v'yatzo shloshav v'lodaras. Osur lechol mishkitasa. Okay? There's a debate among the Rishonim. If you look at the Rajba and the Ran, you know, and so on, and Sukkah, there's this massive debate whether or not the Gadol Omed Al Gabav is a chatchila or it is b'dieved there. Okay. Either way, it's connected to the topic of chinuch. That seems clear. Then you have the sugya here. So again, once again, you have Gadol Omed Al Gabav instead of Macherim Rono. So, okay, that's A. And B, you have this factor of Yodea, you know, Lishkot. And the question is, what does that mean as we discuss? Okay, great. So that's the second Gemara, we'll call it. That's the outside Gemara. The inside Gemaras are the one here on Yud Beis Amud Beis and the Gemara on Lamed Aleph. What's Yud Beis Amud Beis? Kalimelech? The Kulin Sheshachta Vacherim Rono Sanskritas and Ksheira? Yeah, quickly. just for a minute. We're not going to do the whole, just the beginning at least. Before that, I'm sorry. Chutz mecher shot v'katan shemi kalkul shkitasan. What does the Gemara say? Shemi kilkulu lo tani. It's a future tense, right? Not that it should have said, you know, if he did it, you know, b'diavad, you might be able to eat it, but, right, you know, that's not the way to do it. And so it says shemi kalkulu. Okay, amareva zotamaret. So here's the Gemara says explicitly, there's no lechatchil. The Rishonim were troubled. Well, that's already explicit in the Seifa. Right? In the and especially as the Gemara on Beis Amud Beis and Gimel Amud Aleph and Gimel Amud Beis and Dalet Amud Aleph, the way they read the Seifa, which is that the Acherim Roin Oso, in the Mishnah at least, is B'di'evet. So what's the Chiddush of this Shema? What does it mean? And what layer is it adding to the mix? So what does Rashi say about that? Shemi kalkul, the mashma, the muadim heim lekalkul. Correct? Yeah. And the Rabbeinu Gershom on the spot, actually says we're talking about a case of a chaber. We're talking about somebody who, you know, is ochel chulin, you know, al taras hakodesh, the tahara. So for him, we're worried about the kilkel. That's an added thing. Tosis in on Beis Amud Aleph, right? Kind of is aware of that kind that shita, broadly speaking, and rejects it. Do you have the Tosis there quickly? The one on Beis Amud Aleph, just for a second. That means even a filo achero no so is only drabana. It's only b'diav. Kashal perusho. Which is kind of what the Rabbeinu Gershom says, right? Right? Maybe the difference is what's the level just like getting to the sukkah and sukkah. Maybe the difference is, you know, what level of experience or knowledge the katan has, right? So there are different types of katanim. Okay, go ahead. Yeah, meaning. Maybe, in other words, without Omid al-Gabav, you know, you need to have certain expertise. And, you know, and without that, then even the Acherim Garo and Oso are only be the other. Rabbi Huda Didiak Shemakil Kalu.
It was things that are born on the Tatan, the Munkhin and the Tamil Dash.
Sorry?
Those are not talking about the Tatan, the Tamil Dash.
Say again?
Talking about, like, the other
alternative answers. Oh, you mean for the I see. It's not Rabbeinu Gershom. Yeah. I would say, okay. I mean, just he's saying, oh, maybe the B'di'evet or the Mish. But you can't say, oh, you can. Right, in a second he's going to say you can't say that, though, because the okay, yeah, you're correct. I think later on he has. Okay, go ahead. Well, the Rav Lakoi, right? Elah Kheir Shot of the Kod, that's, okay. Right, that's, yeah. Okay. Maybe Rava doesn't agree with this distinction between Yakalkalu and Kilkalu. Yeah, quote. Rava Tam, what is the Rava Tam the Farish? Okay, so Rabbeinu Tam came up with a new idea to explain that line in the Gemara, a very innovative idea, which is what exactly?
That you don't even let them practice
Yeah, so clearly that's like an, right, that's a very big escalation. Correct? Okay. The Ramban, the Rajba, most of the Chachmei Sfarad here have a different idea. They think that the Kilkalu and Yikalkalu, some of them here, some of them there, refers to the problem of Baltashmas. Okay. So there are different views, so the first thing to point out in the Gemara in Yud Beis Yud Beis is that there's a huge discussion in the Rishonim. What does this Kilkalu Yikalkalu add to the mix, you know, in terms of what's a Chatzila, what's B'di'eved, you know, what about Baltashkes, what about, you know, Lachila Leklavim, etc. Okay. And then you have Rabbeinu Gershom who says, yeah, the whole thing is about a Chaver. Right. Good. But what else? Do we have the bigger limud from Yud Beis on the base is a continuation, which is in the Gemara. Mantana the lo bin and kavana. So this is, I can keep going. Yeah, who told you who Amar lo? It's like throwing a frisbee, right? But this is like really, you know, as it hits the wall and then it went backward. It's like a California surfing kind of a thing. Right? No? Okay. So like that requires a lot of skill or a lot of coincidence. Okay, but it happened. Okay, or it could happen. Good. Yeah. Okay. So what do you make of this? Is this important Gemara or not? Somewhat, very. Say again? Okay, I'm thinking, but and even more than that, I mean, this is the Gemara that's basically saying that the Mishnah or that the Katan case is a reflection of whether you need Kavana Bishchit, right? Now, Kavana Bishchit, this is what, in other words, let's say till now, when the Mishnah used the expression of Shema, you know, Yikalkalu, right? And when the Gemara points out, you know, for Rava, etc., that you know. That the Sefer of the Mishnah plays also the Chayim Shots of the Katan, you know, and Acherim Ron also makes a difference, and there's this issue of the Katkilim B'di'eved, as we said before. One could have said that all of this has to do exclusively with practical questions, like we said, right? Are you going to, you know, what's the likelihood of making a mistake in the process of the Shechita, technically? What this Gemara tells us, you know, it's very important from a few points of view, is that the Mishnah is telling you you don't need Kavana B'Shechita, or so it would appear. And basically, that seems to be based on that seems to be a double statement, too. Number one, I mean, for that to be true, you have to say what? There's no Kavana B'Shechita. Like, why would you think that there is Kavana B'Shechita? Well, number one, there is Kavana B'Shechita's Kadshim, or at least Mis'asek B'Shechita's Kadshim is definitely possible. Right. So, and especially if there's a connection between Shechitas Chul and Shechitas Kadshim, not so simple to assume, you know, that you don't need Kavana in Shechitas Chul when it comes from the world of Shechitas Kadshim. It's also not that difficult to make the chiluk. We all understand that, you know, certainly if there's no connection, there's no problem. And even if there is a connection, the idea that the standards for Shechitas Kadshim could be higher than chiluk. I've presented the idiosyncratic possibility, you know, that the opposite may sometimes be true, meaning that the higher standards are required for Shechitas Chulin because that's, you know, the elevation part, and in Shechitas Kadshim, relative to other avodos, it's the, you know, it's the downgraded part. Okay. I mean, that's striking and singular, and it does sometimes appear to be that way, and that would be the right explanation for it, I believe. However, you know, all things being equal, even if there's a kasher between Shechitas Chul and the Shechitas Kadshim, the expectation would be that, you know, that Shechitas Kadshim, you know, might still be on a higher standard, because we are still dealing with Kadshim. Nonetheless, the more we look at, let me say it this way, the more we look at Shechitas Chulin as a, this is really the big issue that I want to explore for a few minutes in this context, the more we look at it as a technical requirement, you know, being matkia ego menachai, being matkia nevela, and more of a physical, you know, reality, the more expansive it should be. We should care less, not like I could care less, but we should care, not as much, right, about, you know, the process or how this comes about. I would say that in general. Meaning, what do I really care in the end of the day whether it was done ben besaseg, right? Whether it was done bekoach gavra or not, or they maisakof or gravity, right? Nafla hasakin, we'll get that in just a minute. Like, what's the difference? If the shechita was done perfectly, you know, meaning the simonim were cut in the proper way that constitutes a shechita, right? Anything that is more formalistic, right, in terms of, or more subjective requirements, one would think, you know, would be unnecessary. Mashallah Verdome, right, you know, you do Nikur, you know, we had this when we talked about the Bahag of the Ramban, like Nikur Achelev, you know, you want to make sure that that non-kosher stuff isn't there, you cut it out. So this is a little different because this is a, you know, you took what would have been Eber Menachaya or Nevela, you know, and you turned it into kosher meat. But one perspective, the perspective that doesn't emphasize the things that we've been emphasizing, you know, and which certainly is valid and out there, is that, you know, this is just the way to do that. This is the technique, and this is the way. And therefore, as long as the tzabor, the simanim, get cut, you know, in the proper way, then, you know, this is kosher meat. You know, and it's not nevela, it's not Eber Menachai, and Shalom al Yisrael. Do we care that it was Misasik? Do we care that it daska is Maisa Gabra and not Maisa Kof, or, as I say, or nature, or, you know, gravity? Like, why should we? Same token, do we care, you know, whether it was a katan or a gadol? You might even say, do we care whether it's a Jew or a non-Jew? Right? Because in the end of the day, the hagdara of kosher meat or the hagdara of nevela has been sidestepped, you know, here. So on the other hand, I mean, I'm talking about two extremes for the moment. On the other hand, the more we think that this is a matir and a mitzvah and a chalos, you know, and that especially if we think, you know, that it heavily, you know, is imported from the world of Shechitas Kadshim, and especially if we think, you know, that there's kind of like this, you know, background of Nevela and Eber Menachai, you know, that needs to be eradicated. You know, and, you know, it's almost a chiddush it's a chiddush HaTorah that you can do that. I mean, you know, meat consumption is inherently problematic, you know, unless you turn this into a kedusha kind of a process. So then, right, the physical side of it is not going to be enough, likely, right, because you're going to have, you know, possibly, you have to have a formal maisa, not just a maisa from the chatzah's point of view, but from the gavra's point of view as well. I'll explain what I mean by that, like besaseik, for example. Maybe you need koach gavra. Maybe you need, kavana. Maybe the kavana that you need, you know, which is more than just dispelling besaseik or establishing koach gavra, or how minimal is that kavana going to be also? Is it going to be enough to have kavanas chaticha, meaning that, you know, that you intended to do this? Or do you have to have kavanas chaticha simanim? Do you have to have kavanas hamitzvah, if there's a mitzvah? Do you have to have kavana that this should be matir the neveila. But there are all sorts of levels of kavana. All I'm saying is, the more you think that chita is this, you know, quote unquote, you know, matir, you know, etc., this davar shebekdusha, the more likely, the more palatable additional subjective elements beyond the objective, you know, fact that the cheftas, you know, simane tzavar have been cut. And part of that is also the question of who, right? Both in terms of the direct requirement of a certain level of kavana, like if you require a certain level of kavana, or lack of misasek, or koach gabra, you know, then is chayra shotav katan sufficient koach gabra? Or is it more like a maitza kof? I'm not saying that a katan or a chayra shotav is a kof, but in terms of like a deliberate or purposive, you know, action. I mean, that requires a certain maturity from an action point of view. Certainly any minimum level of kavana may require that, except, of course, you would distinguish between different levels of kavana too. I'll explain that more fully in just a second. But even if you were to get beyond the kavana question, right, you may raise this question, you know, from another point of view. And just like, let's say you had all the kavana that you could want, but maybe from a chalos maisa shchita, the avoda, let's say, you know, of shchita skulin. Now again, we know that the avoda of shchita skulin, even if it is that, you know, is different than the requirements of shchita kadshim. You know, zar is kosher, and outside of, you know, eldad adani, isha is kshera, right? But that doesn't necessarily mean, you know, that a katan would be kosher, even separate from the kavanah problem. Maybe you need, you know, a gavra mechuyav, a bar, you know, somebody who is mechuyav bezvicha, or in the parsha of zvicha, right? At least a bar das, even if you don't need his das for the process, maybe you need a bar das to effectuate, you know, the change, the chalos, heter, of this chulin. Okay. That's really what I'm trying to, that's what I'm interested in. So the more we think that everything is about kilkul, right, we're going to narrow all of that. And the more we think that the process of shchita, skulin itself, also requires a pretty ambitious process, you know, the more... Now again, where do you draw the line in all of this? Right? To say, it doesn't have to be where kachim is. We can acknowledge that there's a difference between kachim and chulin and still think that you require something. Some level of kavana, some level of bardas, etc. So when you throw this into the mix, you know, you could also ask the question, because we know that Gadol Omid al... you know, we know that what the Gemara calls Gadol Omid al Gabba v'tzukah, and what the Mishnah calls Acherim Roin Oso, works. Right, so that's going to be part of this as well. When the Gemara here says that if Katan works, right, be Acherim Roin Oso, that means you don't need Kavana. You know, there seem to be two assumptions here. Right. One is that is the case, and the second is that the Acherim Roin Oso don't supply the Kavana. Right? Either because they're the real Shabbat, or because, you know, you can have kind of a split process where one person does the Maisa and the other person is, you know, provides, you know, the Kavana. So the assumption also seems to be that where you require kavana, acherim roin oso is not sufficient, doesn't work. Not so pasha. That's a question that Tosis and all the Rishonim ask, Alatar. What's the question? Shai? You saw it? A little bit? And you're base on base? Some of you base on base, some of the Rishonim are not base. You have it there? Ramban also speaks about it, but you know, look what Tosis on your base on base. It's very easy to talk about. What's that? It could be, I didn't tell you specifically, I just put, kind of look at the broadly. Aaron, you saw it?
Yeah.
What does he ask? Yeah. Which again becomes a little problematic in Sukkah. Right?
Aaron is like a passive
he's instructing him. He's a more hands-on. Okay. But then what motivated Tosis to say that? This problem. Namely, we find in other halachos, and again, we're not going to do this extensively now, but we find that Gadol Omed Al Gabo is sometimes effective where you actually need Kavana. This Gemara seems to be saying, oh, the only way Katan works is a Cherem Ro. No, so, clearly you don't need Kavana. The Tosa says, that's not true. Gadol Omed Al Gabo works when you need Kavana. In what area, for example? You get them. Right? A lot of you learned Gittin last year. Lishma and Get. Get requires Lishma, and Gadol Omed Al Gabo fundamentally works. What else? Chalitza. Right? A bunch of things. So if Gadol Omed Al Gabo works there, even though there's a din of Kavana and Chalitza, clearly a din of Lishma and Gittin, and a bunch of other things as well, then how can the Gemara say here, you don't need Kavana? So what's Tosa's answer, what you said? Namely, there's a difference between, in Achanami, if the Mishnah had said, God lo min al gabav, then we wouldn't necessarily conclude that you don't need Kavana. Right? It doesn't mean you do need Kavana, but it certainly couldn't be a proof that you don't need Kavana. Because Kavana can be supplied by God al omed al gabav. But here we're talking about a lesser presence. And that's why it's called Acherim Roim Oso. But they're not giving instruction. They're there to see that no kilkel took place. They're not actively involved. Meaning, there are two models of Acherim Roim Oso. One is where Kavana is supplied, or maybe even the real Bailim are the Gedolim. At minimum, they're supplying Kavana. And the other one where they're just, there to make sure that, nothing untoward took place. But they're not involved at all. There's no input. There's no legal status whatsoever. In general, Gadol Omed Al Gabav, you can look at it three different ways, and you have to look through all the sugyas. We're not going to do that right now, but it's a little bit in some of the reasons we've shown in. Right, Gadol Omed Al Gabav, the real Mechayev, the real Poel, is the Gadol. Kind of the Katan is just like a Yada Richta of the Gadol. That's one way to look at it. Right? Or the opposite, the katan is okay, as long as, you know that everything was done properly, because the katan really, or at least katan has sufficient ability to do this, or some sort of combination. The katan does the maitza, and the gadol is there for the das. Either way, Omed Al Gabav. Again, sukkah becomes an issue. It doesn't have to be a problem issue. You can say, oh, katan yodea, lishchot, is shochet, maybe l'chatchila. For the Rishonim who interpret the Gemara in sukkah as l'chatchila, you could say, oh, because Gadol Omed Al Gabav, as opposed to the, if you want to split the sugyas, the light of Tosis, as opposed to the sugya in Chulin, which is Acherim Roenosa. Right? So, that is possible. It should be noted, since we're talking about this, that, again, so if you had Gadol Omed Al Gabav, it sounds at least like you'd be a notch up. Maybe it would be L'Katrila, right? But Gadol Omed Al Gabav, just to make it clear also, doesn't work for everything. What doesn't Gadol Omed Al Gabav work for? Say again? Oh, non-Jew. Okay, correct. That's number one. We'll get to non-Jews in a second. Because that seems to be a pgam. It is the involvement, even if you say, Gadol Omed Al Gabav, that most of the action is really, it's the Gadol through the Katan, the Gadol through the Akum becomes a problem. There's a line in the Rajba where the Rajba says that Gadol Omed Al Gabav works where Shlichus works. Okay, some people think that the Rajba meant that Gadol Omed Al Gabav is Shlichus. More likely, what he meant was, where Shlichus works, right, Gadol Omed Al Gabav works, even though they work differently. It's not Shlichus Shonim Kemosa. But the idea that you can split the Maisa and the Das, that there can be a Chalos that accrues to one person and a Maisa that belongs to another, that is something which is measured by, actually, we talked last year, the folks here, Bava Kama, right, we talked about the relationship between like Ein Shliach with Dvar Aveira and other things. That's a Shir in Bailos. It's a Shir in the you know, the dependence or the physical or more legal nature of actions. Right? That's, I think I mentioned Nei Brav Chaim last year, that, you know, Ein Shliach L'Dvar Mitzvah B'Davar Shebegufo and Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira are really two sides of the same coin. So that's probably what the Rajba really had in mind. But, right, the Akram doesn't help, but that maybe is understandable, because on some level, we'll get to Shkita as well in a minute. But I'm talking about areas of halakha. Are there areas of halakha that Gadol Omer El Gabav clearly doesn't work for? Where Katan's actions are not going to be effective? Excellent. Very good. Gittin and Kiddushin. Right? Gadol Omer El Gabav doesn't help a Katan be Makadish. It doesn't help a Ketana either. I mean, a Ketana can be Miskadeshes, you know, when her father, you know, gives, you know, his approval. That has nothing to do with Gadol Omer El Gabav. Right? That has to do with either chalos of Kiddushei Ketana being a different chalos and having different rules, or the father kind of being the quasi-bailin by definition, nothing to do with Omer El Gabav, you know, in this part of the equation. Or Chaim in Hilchos Yibum B'Chalitza, in the famous piece in Perek Daled, is very troubled by this. He says, what's the difference between Chalitza and possibly Yibum? But especially it's clearer in Chalitza, right, that if there's a problem of Katan or Ketana in Chalitza, it has to do with being, you know, able to, you know, pronounce the, you know, the text, you know, and other such things. But it appears that fundamentally, and in some cases actually, right, that Chalitza, which requires Kavana, right, can work, but God alone, Omid al Gaba. But why isn't that true also for Gittin and Kiddushin, says Reb Chaim? Right? Reb Chaim's famous answer is to distinguish between, you know, we'll just use these terms arbitrarily for the moment, but to signify these ideas, because that's what Reb Chaim said, between Das and Kavana. Meaning, there are situations where you require Kavana in order for a Pu'ula or a Maisa to be effective, where you know, it animates the Maisa, it's an additional requirement, it completes the process, whatever the case may be. There are other situations where the whole Maisa is really defined by the Das that underpins it. You can call it a Chalot, Yitziras HaChalot, where the action is more than the sum of its parts. That's what happens in Kiddushin and in Gerushin, create a Shem Eishas Ish, all those things, your Mafkia, the Shem Eishas Ish. Right? Reb Chaim says, whenever you require Das, as opposed to Kavana, right, generally you also require a Kiyu. Because both of these highlight, right, a certain kind of, you know, more than, beyond the kind of transcendent approach, you know, to the action. Reb Chaim says, when you need a Kiyu, that's not just Kavana, right, that's Das. And when you need Das, then you have to have a Gavra Bar Das. You can't have God alone without God. Okay? That's very critical. So, it turns out that God alone without God is an interesting, you know, category. You know, when it applies and when it doesn't. What Tosafot here is saying is, it would apply and be considered, even if Shechita required Kavana, God alone without God would work. Right? The only thing that doesn't work is Acherim Roenosa. Okay. I think there's another way to explain the Gemara, though, especially not in this Reb Chaim, and that is the Gemara says that you see from here that Shechita doesn't require Kavan, implying, as Tosis points out, that if it did, then Acherim Roenosa wouldn't work. So let's say you say Acherim Roenosa is God alone in Al Gaba. Let's say the Gemara in Sukkah, Rav Huna in Sukkah, is the Mishnah. Right? Well, would have thought that, for sure. You read Sukkah and you read the Mishnah, you know, you don't think, aha. I mean, once you read Tosis, you do, but, So the question remains, right? We do find in Chalitza, in Gittin, in other areas of Halacha, that Gadol Omer El Gabav is considered to be Kavana. So what do we mean Shita doesn't require kavana. Ah. So the other way to read the Gemara would be to say that what we really mean here is the kind of kavana that one would require for, or that one would require for Shita, right? We don't mean just kavana, would be something like Yitziras HaKalos. Like you require, I don't know exactly for Gittin and Kedusha, it's not exactly that, but something more than Kavana, or something where the you can't split up. There are areas where you could split up the Das and the Pu'ula, right? And there are areas where the Pu'ula, right, is transformative, right? It's a halachic Pu'ula, not just a physical Pu'ula, right? So then, and therefore, Kavana is not only needed, but you need to somehow the kavana to integrate in order to lend prestige to elevate the action, to formalize, really that's what it is, to what I call solemnize or formalize the action. Where you need that, then Godol Omed El Gabos is not going to work, like it doesn't work in Gittin and Kedusha. So then what the Gemara is saying is something fascinating. The Gemara is saying, you know, the debate between Rabbi Nassan and the background is here, it becomes very important. Rabbi Nassan and the Chachamim, right, is do you need in Shechitas Chulin, right, what you do require in the end in Shechitas Kadshin, right? The Gemara on Yud Gimel Amud Aleph explains that Minayin L'Mesasek, right before the Mishnah, Minayin L'Mesasek B'Kadshin Shehu Pasol, Shenemar v'shachat bez ben abakar, shetei shchita l'shem ben bakar. Omer lo zu biyadenu hi, la'akev, minayin, lirtzonchem tizbechuhu, l'datchem zvuchu. Interesting, right? So, maybe what you require in shchitas kadshim, right, that's what you would have required in shchitas kadshim. Why would anybody think that? We don't need to answer that question here, right? But maybe that is not subject to Gadol Omed El Gabah. So then the Gemara in Sukkah, the Mishnah, they're all the same. I in Lishma, in a get, and in Kabana for Chalitza, yeah, because those aren't transformative actions. Although Chalitza is a matir, but it's according to the Ramban, at least in Yavamos and Kupah, Aleph, I think. It's like a matir waiting to happen. You know, it's like a physical chalitza. That's kind of what Reb Chaim says also. Reb Chaim says that that's the difference between chalitza and a get, or chalitza and kiddush. Right? The matir and chalitza, the physical action, you know, as long as you have kavana, is matir. But no yitziras achalos. You don't need a chalos. You just have to neutralize the zika, basically. Again, I don't want to get into Yibam, but but if that's the case, then the Rabbanan, either way, the Rabbanan Shita Keneged, we pass him like a Nasr. But the Rabbanan Shita, as I mentioned in the past, is interesting. Right? So the Rabbanan require the same level as Shechitas Kadshim, according to this reading. And even if they don't, right, they certainly require some significant Kavana. And that's significant. What's fascinating is this question then touches on two things. Number one, what level of kavana do you or would you have required for Shechitas Chulin? Secondly, what status does katan have generally when it comes to pu'ulos and das? But on that second question, I'm now suggesting that there is obviously an interaction between these two questions, meaning katan's actions, physical actions that have halachic impact, or katan's, you know, ability, you know, to engage in transformative, chalos type, maybe, you know, actions. So it's fascinating. Just again, I don't want to get too involved in this. Also, again, well, maybe another time we should. The continuation of the Gemara. Mantana de lo be'inan kavana l'shchita, Rab Nassan, okay, we have that. And then comes, Rab Chiya Bar Abba, boy Rab Yochanan, katan yesh lo machshava, o ein lo machshava. That's referring to in the world of what? Asher? In the world of Tahara. Okay. It's fascinating that the Gemara brings the world of Tahara, where Machshava plays such a defining role, obviously, in terms of Kalim and so on, into this discussion. The Gemara's conclusion ultimately is that Katan Yeshlo Maisa in the world of Tahara, Katan Einlo Machshava in the world of Tahara. Lo and behold, this fits into the Hashkafa topic, I guess. But the in-between, we're Mestapek. What's the in-between? A Machshava, which is Muchach Al Yedei Maasa. Okay, which, in other words, one, which is implied, you know, by his actions. And then the Gemara ultimately concludes that even that, the Katan doesn't have Daraisa, but he has Drabana. So this whole shock of Atarya, I mean, why does the Gemara assume that you should compare, what are they even thinking? So on the one hand, the bigger question of what they're thinking about is, like, oh, you know, can Katan do a Maisa Shechita? And, you know, and does he have kavana or sufficient kavana of what you would require for Shechitas Kadshim and so on and so forth? By the way, does Shechitas Kadshim allow for Katan Begon Lomid Al-Gabav? The Pashtus in this Gemara, the answer is no. Right, the Rambam, Medochus Psulei Mekdashim, says unequivocally, even Begon Lomid Al-Gabav, no. And all the Nosei Kalim say, well, it doesn't say that explicitly in the Gemara, but that's implied by this Shach L'Tarya. Because the Gemara is talking about Kavana of Kadshim and applying it to Chulin. And they're saying, you know, and what Al-Gabav works, but here, but it doesn't, apparently it wouldn't work there. But Rashi actually in the Sugya here, when the Gemara says that, you know, Machshava, which is Muchach Mitok, Nikeres Mitok Maisav, the Gemara says, Kegon Dehave Kaima Ola Bedarom, Ve'asyu Betzafon Veshachta. In Shechitas Kadshim, you want to, you know, the animal's in the Darom, and you bring it into the Mizrach, the Tzafon rather, in order to, that shows you know what you're doing. And that you're being Shochet L'Shem, you know, Shechitas Kadshim. So it's Maisav Muchach, or Machshavto Muchach Mitok Maasav. So the Rashi seems to say here, and Tosis disagrees, that if you had a katan and it was like 100% unequivocal, then maybe in Achanami. And then maybe in real Shechit also, if you had a katan who was, you know, Machshavta was Muchach Mitok Maisav, that would work in Kachim. And Tosis says, no, for sure not. Ever. Never. Okay, what's this issue about? Again, there are two questions. What level of lishma, machshava, kavana do you require here? You know, and can the katan ever master? The Rambam says, no, all cases. All the notes of Kalim say. What he means here is to exclude that Rashi, to hold like Tosfos. So on the one hand, this continuation of the Gemara is perfect. The Gemara is saying, you know, when it comes to significant kavanos, like what is the story by katan? Great. On the other hand, the comparison initially of Shechitas Chulin, you know, to Tahara and Machshava and Tahara is interesting. Right? The status of Katan in other areas also should be relevant here, both in Maisim and Machshava. We'll talk a little bit more about that. We have to finish in a minute because I have to run somewhere. But let's just get on the record. I'm just trying to show, I guess, two broad approaches to how to read this Gemara, both in terms of Katan, you know, and especially in terms of different levels of Kavana, what is required for Shechitas Kadshim, what is required for Shechitas Kulin, what are they being compared to, and in the hierarchy in general of Kavanos, Kavana for Gittin V'Kiddushin, Kavana for Tahara, right? Kavana for, you know, Tahara Mituma. The Tahara that we're talking about here is in terms of Shem Kli, you know, to be Tahar, to be Tameh, etc. What about Tahara in a more general way. So, of course, that's the expanded Gemara also on Lamed Aleph. What's the Sugya on Lamed Aleph? On the Melech? You have the Mishnah. It's a fascinating Mishnah. This is Nafla Sakim V'Shachta. Right? Oh, those of you who are, you know, who hopefully fondly remember Eishem Shemkitza, you know, and Gravity, right? And David Bonfil, and the Ran, and the Rambam, and the Bukei Yosef, and the Avnei Nezer, all the good things. We'll remember this Mishnah and the discussion of the Rishonim here, and Torah Sabayis, the Ra'ah and the Rajba, right? Nuf and Tosis in Sanhedrin, of course, Ayin Zayin of Nuf, right? Directly. Nuf Lasak in the Shachta, go ahead. Me either perfect Shkita, the gravity did a perfect Shkita. Tzula. I love the limud here. I mean, what's not to love? But why do I particularly like the limud here? Shai? I was going to say, I couldn't have said it better, but I don't know. Okay, that's true.
Yeah.
We either say, and what else? Or I could say, and why?
Well, it sounds like you mean that, like, the mice and zifa needs to be, like, it's not kosher unless, like, you do the zifa.
Right, I mean, it has a language, it has a matir kind of a language, right? Meaning, like, what's the big deal? Macha tazom feyacha ta ochel. It's shchuta. It can't be shchuta, mimela, right? You need a maisa shchita and a gavra shochet. That's why I like it, right? It can still be gishmak, but that's why, right? So masha tozoveach atoch. It sounds to me a little bit. It echoes in my mind. What echoes in your mind, Akiva? A little bit. The language of the Rambam, you know, like in Sefer Mitzvos, in Perek Aleph, is that what you're going to say? No. In Perek Aleph of Cheshchita, in the end of Perek Dalet, like, you know, this idea, like, you know, you shecht it, and then you can eat it. You can't eat it unless you shecht it. You can't eat it before you shecht it. Of course. But remember, the Rambam says it always in a double lashon, in Sefer Mitzvos, in Perek Dalet, in Perek Aleph, meaning it's a matir. It's a matir worth formulating as a mitzvah, right? So now we're being told, again, it doesn't have to be that way. I want to make it clear. The din of, I'm presenting this in a very stark way. What I was saying was, the more you think that shchita is just a definition and you know, something that is al pi din hagdara, not nevela or trefa, you know, so then, you know, the more problematic all these requirements are. The more you think that it's, you know, really a matir, and, like, you know, it's almost like this clash between, you know, you've got to matir this thing, you know, between the, you know, the nevela and the Eber Menachai, which is kind of like hovering, you know, in the background, you know, you're like, you know, to strike against nevela. I don't mean a moral strike against nevela, but you understand what I mean. I mean it more in the machshir and the elevation sense than I do in the kiyuv and the neutralizing sense, because I like the Sfarno part about the Nevela and the Ramban part of the Trefa, you know, because I think it works better in Sukkim and so on, right? And then we can get to the whole Rabbi Yosef Engel thing as well. But the right, the more those requirements fit in better with that perspective. Now, of course, you know, what will you do? Because you mentioned Akum, right? So again, if you hold Doraisa, Akum could work. There are some indications of that. We'll talk about Akum. The net is a very strong evidence, you know, that this is just a hagdara, it's mostly about the technique, you know, etc. On the other direction, since if most views are that Akum is an exclusion to Raisa, right, so doesn't that prove that it's, no. I mean, there can be certain Xeris Akasus, even to make something, the idea that it's not just only purely physical, you know, but that there has to be some sort of a bar zvicha, somebody who has Kedushas Yisrael, you know, where this comes from, right? It's a question of where you draw the line. And that may be true not only for the exclusion of Akum, but also for Koach Gabra, right? You know, for not being, you know, just gravity, you know, et cetera. I just want to make that clear. On the other hand, when the if the makor, you know, is again, you could say it's a gili milsa v'zavach v'achalta mashat v'zavachat ha'ochel, not because it's a matir, but because again, the hagdara of what makes the chepta shchuta, it's really a din in shchuta, not a din in shchita. But what constitutes shchuta requires a shochet and a shchita. That's what I'm saying, and that's the explanation for goy. Right? And that's the explanation. Yes, we have bar zvicha, and that's the explanation for koach gabra, etc. Could be. I'm just saying, if you want to take a starker view, like that's not so obvious. As you move up the poles here, you know, if it's not just akum, it's not just koach gabra, you know, it's also kavanas chaticha. Maybe that's just not misasik, according to Rabban. Okay. But I'm saying, the more demanding you are, the more you're requiring. Like, if Katan works in other things and Dafka doesn't work here, the more likely you need a shochet and you need a shchita, not just that the hagdara of shchuta is different. Okay. So, okay, good. That's the Mishnah. What does the Gemara say there? Tamid nafla. But he pilas kshera. Because that's koach gabra, right? And again, the whole topic, again, I'm not going to get into this right now, but that whole Tosas on 9 Zion in Sanhedrin and the whole Rajba and Ra'ah business in Taurus Abayas and so on and so forth, which is what's that?
Where's
Taurus Abayas?
The
Taurus Abayas? Well, Taurus Abayas is a book. You know what Taurus Abayas is,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I'm saying, but which?
So when he talks about this sugya, of this mishnah, nafla, I forget, I don't remember the numbers by heart, but nafla sak and vishachta. So the Rajban, Rahab, an interesting exchange, and they say Tosas and Sanhedrin, Ayin Zayin. Does any of this have to do with Eishem Mishmchit? You know, like, does shchita require, chitzav shel adam? Right, in the same way that other dinim might, or not. That's all part of this question. Anyway, so what does the Gemara say? Man tanid lobin and kavana l'shchita. Rab Nasan, again. And then he quotes the same thing. So first of all, the Gemara has a tzricha, so if you can skip to that for a second. Tzricha. Okay, but again, what I'm trying to show is there are different gradations here. This is Akum and Koach Gabra gradations. Those are Din of Kavanas Shchita, right? Is there a din that osi mikoach bendas means there's a shochet. The other is there's a shchita. Right. So again, it could be all giluye milsa, gzeres hakasus, what constitutes shchuta, what makes something shchuta. I'm not precluding that. But certainly, as I say, the more demanding we get or the more subtle we get about what we need, the more it sounds like to be a shchuta, to be kosher, you need a matir, you need a formal legal action with a formal legal, pers gabra, whose kedushas Yisrael, is purposively, addressing, this issue and this question, and so on. Then comes, of course, the next, and that is the connection to nida, or nida l'bala and nida l'truma. Right, Elimelech? We mentioned these Gemaras, that's why I'm assuming. But what's the story there? You have a similar argument, and then the Gemara has this whole Shakla Vitaria here, which I'm not going to go... Again, they have Mesasik, but Kachim, you have to go all the way till... really to the bottom of Lamed Aleph on the base is good enough. But the Gemara does seem to equate, even though the Man Da'amrim are different, right, the Rabbanan and Rab Nasan about Shechita Skulin, Right? And who are the other players? Who is it? Rav and Rabbi Yochanan regarding Nida Labaila, which is equivalent of Kul. And then, you know, she falls off a bridge, and ends up, being a Tevula, but she didn't really do a Tevila, or there was a Das. Right? And what about Kabana Lekarer, but not, Lihi Tahir. So again, that is a fascinating question. Okay. So you could say again, this is all just, very technical. I say when it comes to Tahara, I mentioned this before, it's particularly, I think, Meduyak in the Rambam, this is a little bit relevant to our, Tahara, Tahara question, the next topic that we're going to do, hopefully we'll start again on Sunday, as well, but it does sound like a little bit in the Rambam. Of course, the Rambam paskins that b'di'eved, legabe bala, or chulin, right, that tefillah does not require kabbalah. But if you're medayik in the language of the Rambam in a few places, especially in the end of Mikvos, the way it presents it sounds like you need kabbalah for tahara, for all tahara. But b'di'eved, you could get away, without. But there's a chalos, or a lechatchila, of tahara, even for chulin. Okay. Again, I think it does have to do, with this broader view of the Rambam, about attaching yourself to the categories of tahara. But by extension, if we're comparing Rebbe and Rav Nosson, or the Rav Nosson and the Rabbanon, to Rav Yochanan and Rav, right? That idea that, okay, maybe b'di'eved, you don't need kavana, katan will be okay, but maybe you do need some level still. Maybe that's a koach gavra, etc., or osi mikoach bendas. Maybe that's the echo of it. Not just exeris akasim. And maybe there really is a lechatchila. Again, it sounds like when the Ramban talks about the question, which we'll finish up with next time also, about, mitzvah shechas kabana, it does sound like Ramban not only thinks that equation is acceptable, but that it's serious. Right? When Ramban in Mechamos in Rosh Hashanah, originally we talked about mitzvah shechas kabana and shechas kabana, the first thing he talks about there is shechitas kadshin. He says, you may need kabana, can't be besasek, but you need kabana la mitzvah shechita? Right, but then in the end of the piece, he kind of just lets it slip in, very quietly, that the debate between Rav and Rav Yochanan and Rav Nosson and the Rabbanon, could also be an echo of the question of mitzvah strichos rein strichos kabbalah. Wow. Right? That's quite a transition. And again, his formulation in Lamed Aleph, which we'll discuss next time, is clear also. Okay. So what basically comes out of all this, and we'll stop here, so I'm already running a little late, is that, Bein B'Mishnah already, you have the Mishnah, you have the first line in the Gemara in Yud Beis, the continuation, whole discussion of Kavana in general, and then the status of Katan on Yud Beis. Then you have Lamed Aleph, again, Nafla Hasakin as opposed to Pila. Again, the connection to Tahara, L'shem Bala, L'shem Kulin. And again, some of the Shaklev Taryas and some of the way that Rishonim treat it, the Omid El Gabov question and Acherim Roanoso question, even more particularly, the two perspectives, or probably more, all of these highlight two ideas. One is that everything is about Shchuta, but there may be some technical requirements to generate the status of Shchuta that are different or that go beyond the objective heftza of the state of the simanim, the fact that they are chatuchim, they sakim properly, one possibility. And then you can emphasize very much you know, the possibility that katan would work, you know, the fact that you don't need any kavana, et cetera, et cetera. Or no, maybe all these things, or at least some of the things, really highlight the matir part of shechitas chulin, right? Even with some differences to shechitas kachim, but with shechitas kachim, again, is kind of an inspiring paradigm. So one of the issues that we need to discuss, and we'll continue with this next time, is so what really is, does anybody hold that katan will work be'ein gadol omein al gaba b'di'eved? The tour has such a possibility, right? If he's ma'amin yadav and yodea, you know, hilchos, whatever. Wow. Okay, that's one extreme. Does anybody hold that in a fundamental way, katan is mufka from shechita, which would kind of force you to think that a cherem omdim al gabav is really gadol omed al gabav, and that a lot of the heavy lifting is being done by the gadol? The levush that is quoted by the shach. And for the reason of him not being fully mitzuva, right, or a bar, zvicha. So I want to talk about those two extremes, and the middle question, which also is relevant, that is the Nemanus question. Is all this maybe just about Nemanus? Okay. So bidyabed, do you ever have katan b'li omid al-gabav? Right? And lichatchila, do you ever have, you know, katan, you know, of course, b'gadol omid al-gabav, that we know. Again, not to be bogged down with the details so much, but especially when we talk about the shach, the levush, the prima gadim, again, the language of the Ramban in the two places about kavana, which I mentioned, but I just want to briefly revisit it. Just those makaros. And then I want to just connect it, based on how I'm interpreting it, you understand the connection, to a little bit this discussion of the Avnei Nezer and the Kovod Sa'aros, about, you know, whether you can kind of rescind or how expansive is the matir of shechita. Okay. Because I think that obviously is kind of the underlying question. Okay, so we'll do that, and then we will move on to briefly to the question of chulin al taharas hakodesh and some other focus on the ideal of tahara.
The Rebbe's shot to answer the series between the cards that Hilchos brings up on Matir Beis. Does the Rebbe think that Tzivat HaGet is not a Tzivat HaGet?
I happen to think very strongly that you've probably even heard me say that.
Well, I assume that...
I think it is for the Rebbe.
No, I think these are the cards that...